Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, again, too, for each one has come out. I pray our hearts and our minds are open and receptive to your word, and that your words will be spoken, and they will touch us in such a way that we will not only realize the nearness of your coming, but we will realize the necessity of the harvest and how plentiful it is. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the scriptures that have been read, we find in Isaiah, of course, that God is speaking about Christ coming. And when God is speaking about Christ coming, he not only gives us all we have to know about it, but if you look closely, you see how the string is woven through Scripture and how God talks about what he will do. He says, my elect, the one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles, realizing that we received the gospel of God and we received the salvation message from the Jews themselves because they had rejected Christ. And then if you go on down, you find here that God, he tells us who he is, that he created the heavens and the earth, and he stretched them out. Then we find also that the Lord says he called Jesus even in his righteousness and sent him to earth to serve him and to proclaim the gospel of God and God's mercy to us. In verse 8, he says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. And we find in that itself of how man has taken and the Word of God and has wanted to try and make it what they want to serve themselves. And we find then, too, that man is, would we say, asleep or sick in the heart and in the life of their own selves because of what they are doing and not believing in God. I was given a brochure, and I want to bring this out. IRS granted satanic cult tax-exempt status in 10 days. That's pretty fast for the IRS or any other government program to move. After school, Satan logo, the satanic temple. While some conservative groups may wait years for tax-exempt status, the IRS swiftly gave approval for a satanic cult that sponsored an after-school Satan club, according to records obtained by the watchdog group. And this was done in Oregon, wasn't it?
Portland, yeah.
Portland, Oregon, yeah. We need to pray and pray diligently for our young people, for ourselves. We have to pray that God will hinder Satan from going forward. And then if we look into the psalm, we find the writer of psalm here, he says, how lovely is your tabernacle, Lord. And you know, my heart faints and I long to be in your tabernacle. He had never seen it, but he wants to be there. And how do we do the same thing? We should long to be, want to be with the Lord, but we want God's justice and mercy done to those here on earth that they do not be overtaken by Satan. Satan is using and working a mighty way in this world, and he's doing everything he can that God will allow him to do to try and turn the hearts and lives of people away from the Lord. And we find we have to pray and we have to live our lives. Live in such a way that we, those that dwell in the house of the Lord, are blessed. And then in the end it says that they will be still be praising you. Selah. Selah means pause, take time to see what you read and dwell on it. And let the Spirit of God work in you and in your heart and in your life. It is so important, and it is so much needed today, not only in Oregon. Oregon is a state that has let all kinds of things happen. I remember, and I've said it before, in 1964, I wanted to move out there in the worst way. And I got a job out there. I could have had the job. It was given to me, handed to me. All it would have cost me is my moving expense. And we thought this would really be the thing to do. We went down to look the place over, and that was in Roseburg, Oregon. And we went down there, and the people seemed nonchalant as far as the airlines was concerned. I turned it down, and Janice and I many times wondered why this had happened. And I think I've said it before, but 10 years later, I read in the Minneapolis paper where Roseburg, Oregon had taken and held the International Conference for Satanic Worship in the world, in Roseburg, Oregon. And we looked at it, I cut it out and brought it home and showed it to her, and I says, do you realize our children would have grown up in this? Would they have been part of Satan and his things? And we see that Satan has a stronghold in many, many places. Let's pray that he doesn't get a stronghold here amongst us as members of this congregation or this community. We have to pray for the community, and we have to be standing up and willing to live our life, showing Christ every day with the people we meet, how we act, how we interact, and the things we say or do to show that God is my Lord and Savior, that God is my Lord, and he's the one that I will serve all the days of my life. The scripture reading for today is found in John chapter 6, starting at verse 24. Let us stand at reading of God's holy word. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking him. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set him his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the earth or to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. You see, if you went to verse 64 in the same chapter, it says, Jesus says, some of you do not believe. You see, Jesus had fed the 5,000. He had walked on the water. Peter had gotten out of the boat and started walking towards Jesus and sank because he looked at the waves coming about him. And we do the same thing in life many times. We're walking with the Lord and we're looking at eternity and we're saying, Lord, I have my sights set on eternity and on you, Lord Jesus, that you would help me and keep me in all things. Then we have hardships come along and things like this in Portland, and we become frustrated and we start worrying what we should do, when we should go to the Lord in prayer. Do we really pray, or do we say, Lord God, be with everybody and heal everybody and keep them good? Amen. And we give a general prayer. Or do we specifically bring before God the people we are praying for? Do we come before God and say, Lord God, I want you to not only make sure my heart is cleansed and right with you, but that I want to also have you live in me in such a way that I serve you, that without you I am nothing, and with you, you can be everything through me, but I get no glory. It all goes to you, Heavenly Father, because you sent your Son Jesus into the world to save me, to save a sinner such as I. And therefore, I must be your servant. I must be your son. I must be the one that you correct, and I will take that correction and that I will live under it. And Lord, if you tell me to do something, help me that I will do it, that your Spirit will not only lead me and guide me day by day, but that in prayer I will praise you and I will stand up for you at all times, because you have given me the right to lay up treasures for myself in heaven by serving you. And Lord, it is not by works, but it's by faith and grace that you have saved me, and it is by this faith and grace that I want to live by, to serve you all the days of my life, that it is that particular time in life when we turn to Christ and have Christ alone. We do not work for ourselves, but for the glory of God. We work to see that God is glorified in all that we say or do. Jesus said, you come to me because of me feeding you, and you're looking for someone to keep on feeding you. And we find that even today, so many people are living on welfare, and we call it milking the system, when they could be out maybe doing something. And yet they won't do it because they feel it's easier to let somebody else do the work and they can just sit and take it all in. And this is what Christ is saying. You want the food. You want the physical food, but you don't want the bread of life. You don't want that bread that will keep you from hungering, or the water to keep you from thirsting forever. Because remember, from the time of conception, your life began, and your life will never end, because your soul, the Spirit of God, is mighty, and it lives on forever and forever. There is no end to eternity. And in eternity, we spend one of two places. If we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we are with him in heaven, and we will be, as the writer of Psalm, I long and even faint to be in your temple and to be able to praise you and glorify you. And that in Isaiah tells us, we realize, Lord, you sent Jesus into the world to heal the sick, to bring those back to life, to help those see and help those walk. And we see all of that in Scripture, and it is given to us for an example that we can know Jesus came as the Son of the living God. And as the Son of the living God, he died on Calvary's cross for us. And when he died there, the nail prints in his hand and in his feet and the spear side in his side shows us he died for our sin. And when Thomas looked at him and touched those marks, he says, my Lord and my God. It's these marks that proves to me, Thomas is saying, that you are the Son of the living God. You have not only died, but you have risen again from the dead. And rising again, you will take us into heaven with you as we trust in you and believe in you. The work of God, it tells us, the work of God, Jesus says, is that we believe on him who he has sent. If we look back into John 3:16, we find God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And we repeat that, and we say we know it by heart, yet we find that we forget, or we don't take it to heart so many, many times, that in taking it to heart, we would realize it is God and God alone that serves us with the salvation that we need in order to be in his kingdom, that he serves us through Jesus Christ, and he was willing to give his only begotten Son, so you and I, who were dead in sin and trespasses, can be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we accept Jesus as our personal Lord. And as we accept Jesus as our personal Lord, we are willing, or should be willing, to step out of our comfort zone, to speak to those around us, or to make them see that Christ is living in us, that as Christ lives in us, they too would want what we have. I can remember some years ago when I was first walking with the Lord, and my brother asked me, he says, what made you change and start doing some of the things of the world? And I says, everybody was against me, my whole family. And he says, you know, he says, we wanted what you had, but we didn't know how to take it or how to ask for it. And in that time, I wasn't savvy enough, if you want to call it that, or knowledge enough to be able to show them how to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yes, I did backslide. And yes, I did things that are things of the world. And I came back to the Lord, and God has forgiven me. And he has taken and says, Irvin, I want you to be able to spread the kingdom of God. I want you to live it. And I want you to understand that you are a servant of Jesus Christ. And I know that. The Lord has been gracious to me in more ways than one. And in that graciousness, may I be able to proclaim Jesus not only as my Lord and Savior, but as people see me, that they will know I have Christ living in me, that I am willing to step out of my comfort zone, and regardless if people agree or not, I know that I have my faith in Christ. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He's making intercession for me, and he's doing that for each one of us if we trust in him and give him our life, give him all of our trust. We can live for him day by day. He can give us the peace we need. He can give us the joy we need. He can also correct us. And he, through our conscience, the Spirit can lead us and guide us as we read and study his word. As we study it, we find that the more we study, the more and closer we draw to God, and he draws closer to us. And Satan will flee from us because we resist Satan and because we call on God to help us day by day. It is not that we live in joy continually physically, because our physical beings are still sinful. And in our physical nature, we will have trials and temptations. Yet God has told us, I will not allow any temptation to overtake you where you cannot escape. I will make a way of escape on every temptation that comes upon you. And I will leave it there, and you call upon me, I will help you overcome these temptations and live for me day by day. We find then we have to trust in Jesus Christ, and that we have to eat the bread of life, which is Christ himself, that we drink from that fountain of light, living water that he gives us, and that we will never hunger and we will never thirst as we have our trust and our belief in him above all things. We find that Christ is our Lord. He is the one we live for. And when he calls us out of this world, we too will be with him in eternity. We will see the people there that went on before us, and we will be there receiving that blessing and being in that temple of God, which the writer in the Psalms wrote about. And we will see the God that is talked about in Isaiah. We will see Jesus himself sitting on the right hand of God, and we will see heaven, the tree of life, and the fountain of life flowing out from the throne of God to all those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is up to us to not only make sure we have Jesus in our heart, but in daily prayer, we come before him, not only asking him to take care of us, taking care of our loved ones, and helping us to stand out and be able to be counted worthy to be called his servant and to be called one of his disciples as we are living for him day by day. Helping us to step out from our comfort zone many times and speak to those who may be wayward, and bringing those back into the fold that have departed from their ways. Giving counsel, being there for them, and just being living that Christian life that God has laid on each one of us to do, that we should live day by day in him. That by doing this, we don't look for the physical things of life as much as we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And Jesus says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and all of the things you need here on earth, I will give you. How many of us pray daily and thank God for the daily bread that he gives us, or our daily provisions? And many of us have to say, I never thought about it. And yet it is something that God gives us in his mercy and his grace. He gives it to us, and many times we think it's we deserve it, and yet we realize this world was created by God. He created the heavens and the earth, and he stretched them out, and he had to put a curse on the earth because of sin that entered his kingdom. And that earth today is groaning, it tells us in Romans, to be released from that curse. And just like man is, will one day be released. And we will see that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And God says, I will be with my people, and I will be their God, and they will be my children, taking care of them. Sin will never again enter the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O Lord, to not only be your sons and daughters, but that we would live for you day by day, that we would be willing to stand up for you day by day, and watch over us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 425.